你一个人去。
Good evening, folks. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm tired. I mean, Bill. These people here are running me ragged. I've been having problems thinking and talking and tripping over things all day long. I think the last time I slept was, I don't even remember. Let's go to Phoenix, if I did this right. And if I did, Gene Miller should be on the other end. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Bill. How's it going today?
Oh, man, don't ask me that. You were here. How was it going?
Well, hey, I just want to let you know how impressed I was of everything that has been going on and just all the information that's being given out. And I just hope I believe that the people that are there will make use of it, you know. Sometimes we have the danger of just becoming information junkies. Just gathering information for the sake of gathering information. Well, doesn't do a lot of good if you don't put it to use.
That's correct.
Well, today on the markets, let's see, gold had a high of 379 and a low of 376.90 to close at 377.20, down $1.10. Silver had a high of 523, a low of 517, to close at 518, low down 2 cents. Platinum had a high of 415.50. Low of 404.50 to close at 409.30, down $6.70. And the Dow had a high of 37.94.90 and a low of 37.80.60 to close at 37.92.6, down $3.60.
What's it all mean?
Well, you know, I was talking about to a client today about how gold has evolved. You know, we go back 60, 70 years ago, gold was just a part of life. You know, it wasn't a luxury or anything. It was just part of everyday life because our money, if we didn't have gold, we had a gold equivalent in $20 bills or $20 gold piece or, you know, in silver. Our money was of just weights and systems, and gold and silver was a part of life. It was a part of our currency. And then it evolved when the Federal Reserve stepped in and everything kind of went topsy-turvy. Then gold became a luxury, only afforded by the very wealthy, the Aristotles and the Kennedys and the Rockefellers and so on and so forth. But now, Bill, we're entering into a point now where gold is not only a luxury anymore, but a necessity. It's something that you can't afford to not have gold and silver as part of your portfolio. I mean, it's like people, I talked with a lady today that been around for a long, long time. You know, she's an elderly lady, but
you better watch out. You're going to make her mad at you.
No. Hey, I respect her with all my heart. I mean, I admire people with years beyond mine because they got some wisdom to them.
Oh man, you're going to lose an account.
But we were talking about insurance. And every one of my clients, they wouldn't be caught dead without fire insurance. They just wouldn't. And the odds of their house burning down are really relatively small, you know. And yet we have such greater not only probability and not only likelihood, but it's going to happen of your money being just totally wiped out, and yet people don't see the necessity to protect it. And that's what you're doing. We're not selling get-rich-quick schemes. We're selling protection of your money, real money, gold and silver. And yeah, the market in certain types of coins is doing good and is moving upward, but that's not what you should buy it for. If that happens, great. You know, that's a blessing. But, you know, in reality, it becomes a necessity in this day and age to protect what you have, protect your way of life. And again, it's, you know, got lots of information, you know, and you hear our number week after week, day after day, and people call us every day, you know, wanting information. But sometimes I wonder, what are you going to do with it? Folks, we got information, but it's time to start putting your money where your mouth is, or putting your head into gear and start using the information, not only on what we do here, but on everything that Bill teaches us on and informs us on. Information is no good unless it's put to use.
What did you think of the conference while you were up here?
Oh, thoroughly impressed. I mean, And again, it's like, I can imagine you are exhausted getting out all that stuff and you know, corralling all that. And it just got to be, I mean, it's almost like, how do I take all this in, you know, as far as all the information that's being disseminated and everything. But no, I was very impressed. Very good facility. You people that didn't come, if you had the ability to come, you should have came.
That's right.
And I liked your idea of having these, and I think that was a great idea, having these all over the country.
Well, we're certainly going to do that.
You know, I think that'd be an excellent idea. Pick a key city and have one, you know, I don't know how if you can put up with it, but have one once a month.
Well, I don't know if I'd survive that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of grueling.
This is grueling.
The rock concert, huh?
it's a lot of fun, though, and there's some absolutely wonderful people here. Don't forget, folks, gold and silver coin are the only legal money. Read your constitution. No state shall tender anything other than gold or silver coin in payment of debt. However, they violate the law every day. That ought to tell you just about where the Constitution stands. Call Gene at 1-800-289-2646. Do it tonight, folks. You know how you are. You procrastinate. So call him. 1-800-289-2646. And do it now. You'll be glad you did. Thank you, Gene.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Early summer in the mountains, down from the deep forest, came a man on an ordinary bay horse with a black hat, cowboy boots, some kind of weird idea about freedom. Lenny, welcome to the Hour of the Time.
Well, thank you.
Lenny was one of our featured speakers today, folks, and I think one of the best. He certainly had a great reception and was swamped afterwards, and people have been asking him questions and following him around all day. I certainly learned a lot, and I know everybody here did. Why don't you tell us what some of your subjects were and how you came to learn what it is that you know and that you've sort of tried to teach these people here today, Lenny?
Okay, I'm a teacher, and to support that education, I had to work in restaurants. Wound up owning a restaurant and not teaching for some years. Ever since I was a young man, I have had a feeling, like I've told the people, I don't hear voices, but I have had a feeling that there were some skills that had been neglected and that I needed to learn. And I became actively involved in hunting. I missed Vietnam by a year, and I'm thankful to my Creator for that. But I have learned some things, and a lot of it's come out of hunting. Eventually, I got into the freedom movement. I've never trusted our alleged government. I love my country. I can separate the two. And I believe the Constitution was divinely inspired. And I have a degree in history, so I know a little bit about the Constitution. And today we talked about camouflage, escape, and evasion. I think one of the more important things that some of the women in the audience learned, and perhaps some of the men, is that being a Christian man does not mean you have to be a panty waist. And that while it is good to be gentle and loving, sometimes situations call for tougher action, and we need to be prepared to be always be kind and gentle, but we also need to be prepared for tougher action.
In other words, being thrown to the lions isn't really a good choice, is it?
No, I think at last count it was still Christians 0 and lions 700,000 or something like that.
And if we're not careful, that's exactly what it's going to be again. You said something that intrigues me. You said alleged government. Would you like to elaborate on that a little bit?
To govern, it seems to me you have to have the consent of the governed. And I don't know if the people in Washington, D.C. really have the consent of the governed, because they haven't given us credible choices. In the Soviet Union, you used to get one choice. In the U.S., you get two.
Now, that's a wonderful comparison. You know, today you started out just like you did tonight, talking a little bit about your background and what you believe and the fact that you're a Christian, and Christians should be gentle people, and none of us want to hurt anybody else. I fought in Vietnam, and I swore when I came back that I would never kill anything else again in my life. I used to hunt a lot. I haven't hunted since I returned from that war, and now I'm preparing to go to war again, and I don't really like that feeling, but at the same time, people like today, a lot of people are talking about what's the alternative. What's the alternative to standing up against what's coming right now?
The only alternative is to be a slave, to give up your personal freedom for safety and for protection. And maybe some people can do that. It happens in the big cities all the time, you know, kind of, hey, you don't rock the boat, your restaurant won't get burned down, you know, people selling them insurance. And that's what the government's doing to us in these days. They're selling us safety and taking our rights. I'm not gonna put up with that. That doesn't mean I'm gonna go start a revolution, but they take what's mine and I'll exact payment for it.
Right. My goal has always been not revolution, and I discourage that. In fact, would fight against it. But to restore the nation, restore the Constitution, restore freedom. I know you've been involved in a lot of things. We're not going to go into exactly what you've been involved in and what all that means. But today you were imparting a lot of that knowledge that you've learned over the years and how you're putting it to use now to the people here in St. John's. And you talked about a few things that I know some of the people weren't expecting to hear when they came here, such as, we're down to the wire. There's no more time left. We're preparing to fight for our liberty, for our freedom. There's not going to be any political solution. There's not going to be any relief in the courts. Would you like to address that to the listening audience?
Vigilance is the price of liberty, and if you haven't been vigilant, you're going to suffer because you haven't taken the time to learn the things you need to learn, and it's late in the game. This is my opinion. Revelation tells us that no man will know the time, and oftentimes we get tied up with the last book of the Bible and don't learn.
The first book.
The ones in between, you know, between Daniel and Isaiah and things like that. But it's going to bear some personal consequences if you haven't prepared yourself in matters of food, in matters of defense, in matters of self-sufficiency. And I'm neglectful in some of these areas myself. I'm not the complete person. I have limited resources, but I have gone after some of it, And the most important thing is educate your mind. Gizmos, those types of things are helpful, but your mind, it's your mind. It's your mind, it's knowledge, it's your mind, it's your attitude, it's your mind.
Well, that's where it begins, at least for me, and that's what this program is all about. That's what the center is all about, is to educate people, to bring their mind back into reality and get out of the fantasy where most people live, and help them prepare for what's coming. There's going to be a time when you won't be able to do that, and if they have their way about this information superhighway, you won't have any access to any information that they don't want you to see. You talked, Lenny, about what kind of preparations to make. You talked about you talked about a lot of things, but one of the things you covered was being in shape, and you listed some pretty specific reasons why people should be in shape, and you began to talk about the technology and the means that they have of finding people, and how you sort of taught yourself and learned from other people to prevent that from happening.
Yes, it's important to be in good physical shape. I'd stay off cigarettes. I'd stay off of other drugs. I myself chewed tobacco for some years, and I've given that up. That was one of my vices. We all need to look at what's truly important in our lives, and one of the things is to have good legs, and I'm not talking about the kind that you whistle at. I'm talking about...
But those are nice.
So yeah, some of my best friends have pretty legs. But
he's talking about his horse. Folks.
Yeah, and if my wife's listening, I only look at yours, dear. But your legs are the most important part of your body in this type of scenario, because to escape and evade, to just live in the upcoming times that I visualize, you're going to need legs and really the rest of your body. But the legs are a good place to start.
What would you advise people to do about where they live? Where better places might be that they could live? I mean, I've covered this before, but I don't see a whole lot of people out there listening. Maybe if they hear it from somebody else, they might.
They won't listen to me either, but I'll be happy to. Be happy to spread the news of. You know what saddens me is I'm going to recommend that if you live in a city, you get out of it. And I'm talking about those citizens in Philadelphia, a beautiful city. I'm talking about citizens in maybe St. Augustine. I'm talking about people in cities that used to be the heart of this nation, the very backbone, places where they made steel and honest men made. Their living's doing that, and we don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I recommend that you get out of the city, because that's what the New World Order, that's the cherries and the pie, that's what they want, that's where the wealth is.
And that's what they'll control, isn't it?
And they will, and I can't stop them, neither can you.
That's correct.
As an individual.
That's right. And even as a group, initially, we're not going to stop anything. We can begin a program of restitution and re-education and survival, and ultimately a prolonged period of probably guerrilla warfare, and who knows where it's all going to lead. But there are many of us in this country. I know that you're one of them. I'm one of them. I know others who are would rather die than become a slave. And we're going to fight for the freedoms that we have, even if it means a long period of suffering and hardship and warfare. And you really gave our attendees here, I hate to call people attendees, it sounds so impersonal.
They're such nice people, too.
Yes, they are. Our people here... such a wonderful basic outlook on what's coming, how to prepare themselves, and how to survive. You talked about being captured and what to do and when to try to make escapes and how to do it. You talked about tracking and how people would be tracked and located and all kinds of things. And what I'd like to do is just let you go through your notes and talk. And I'm going to shut up for a little while. I think I've sort of hit upon the things that I wanted to get people sitting on the edge of their chairs with. And you can just take it from there and pull the legs right out from under them, because I know that's exactly what you're going to do. And in about 10 minutes, we'll take a break, and then I'm going to let you go again.
Okay. First off, I'd like my voice to go out to people across that satellite, and I'd like it to go out in a gentle way into your homes, and I ask that you listen to me. I'm not a sage, and I don't know it all, and I've made mistakes, but I've got some things that I'd like you to listen to. I'd like you to ignore what you learned from NBC and other outfits like that, other Goebbels type operations. I'd like you to forget about what modern churchianities taught you, and come along with me. I'm not going to teach you to be Rambo. I'm not going to teach you to be Rambo like Janet Reno. I'm not going to teach you to be any of that. But I think you got a right, if you're captured, to escape and evade. And if people try to kill you, I think you've got a right to defend yourself.
Absolutely.
I think we need to talk about some rules. You need to maintain some type of relationship with other people that feel like you do. And you need to have known them for a long time, because there's a saying in the Soviet Union that where two people meet and talk about revolution, one of them is a government spy. And with our many programs on TV, Narc on Your Neighbor shows, it's becoming more and more true here, especially in the big city.
Yeah, they're teaching children to rat on their parents in school.
Yeah. And if you strike a child, the Lord knows that you will be visited by the kid cops. The first one is to make relationships with people that feel like you do. Try to keep a low profile. That doesn't mean you can't stand up for what's right. But don't call attention to yourself unless you feel led to do that. I felt led to do that. I haven't always felt that way. I'd advise getting out of the cities and getting into the country. It's harder to make a living out here sometimes, but now with many of the computers and that type of home publishing things, people can do it. You're going to have to settle for less money. You may have to work harder than you've ever had to before. But if you don't prepare for what's coming, I think Timothy says that you're worse than an infidel. So I would encourage you to take care of your family. And the best thing you can do is get out of the cities. I have seen what, even in our society today, the absence of government can do. I've been into Alaska, and I've seen polite game and fish people. I've seen polite police authorities, because they fear the people. There's not many of them. And they're isolated, and they fear the people. And when government fears the people, you have the proper relationship in a government. When the people fear the government, you got problems, and that's what's happening today.
A bad servant should fear the master, and the people are supposed to be the master of this country.
We gave up that a long time ago, and we gave it up because we didn't educate our children right. And we handed that off to public education, which is a second plank of the Communist Manifesto, I believe. It's one of the planks.
Yes, it is.
Institute public education on the Western democracies. By the way, folks, I am a public education teacher. I teach in the public school system.
And you are doing something quite different. What are you teaching your students?
Boy, you'll get me in trouble. I try to teach them about the Second Amendment. That'll get you fired. I try to teach them about history. I try to teach them that perhaps the Constitution is divinely inspired. Perhaps men like George Washington were actually set up to perform an experiment. And I know there's different opinions on our founding fathers, but some of them were very good men. Some of them weren't. Some of them were smugglers. But I try to get them to respect the principles of liberty. And I think we have some teachers that still do that.
Yes, but they're so rare. So rare. You are a very rare individual, not just teacher, but all-around individual. Go ahead, Leanne.
Some other rules is to remember that our, I'll call it government, is much like a hammer. The striking surface of that hammer is very small, and if it hits you, it's going to hurt. But they do not have the power. They do not have the resources that we think they do. That they try to carry across. They try to come across as impervious. And I'm here to tell you that the Afghans, with black powder weapons and limited support from the U.S. Throughout Soviet imperialism, despite the best efforts from Ford Motor Company and different people who built the largest truck plant on the Kama River, I think.
Kama River, yes. William Casey was responsible for that, later headed up the CIA.
I call your attention to people that love liberty, that have grasped firearms and sticks. I call your attention to Tiananmen Square. I call your attention to many things that people with a cause have succeeded with God's help. And we can succeed. But I want you to know that I don't have a whole lot of aspirations of doing that. I'm not required to win. I'm required to participate. That's how I feel.
Well, it's a doctrine with all of us is that, number one, we're not going to be slaves. We know that. Number two, we believe in God. And our belief says that we must do the right thing no matter what. Whether we win or lose doesn't make any difference. We must do what is right.
We've lost that in America. The simple ability to look at an action and say, is it morally right? Should I do it? Is it morally wrong? Should I not do it? When you raise a child, you teach him to kneel down and say their prayers. You should. And you teach children simple things, like the difference between right and wrong. And I'm here to tell you that I believe I'm on the side of right. It may be the belief of the late Lenny, eventually, but I believe that what I'm doing is right. I believe that with all my heart. I've prayed about it. And I think the government is wrong. I believe it's as simple as light against dark, God against Satan. It's that simple. It's not complex.
Well, when you get into it and when we understand who we're fighting, that's exactly what it is. They believe in Luciferian principle. Lucifer's their God. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in any God except man. That is the sum total of the Luciferian principle, is that if ye eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, ye shall become as God, then ye shall not surely die. But every one of them dies sooner or later, don't they?
I think a snake rat told that to him.
Yes, that's right.
Let's see. I think I told a story about a horse I had. Just the other day, she tried to kick one of her stable mates and impaled herself on it. On a fence post, a T-post, and it drove the post 15 inches into her hip. I actually measured that. We had to inject medicine up in that hole. And she can be a witch sometimes, but I care about that horse. And I didn't want her to die, and I was very concerned, and I called my wife, and we called the vet, and I said, should I put this horse down? I hate to see things suffer. I hunt, but I do not like to see things suffer. I don't take the shot unless it's a clean kill and I eat what I hunt. Anyway, this horse just was bloody. There was 5 gallons of blood on the ground. And the vet told me, "Hey, Lenny," he said, "I've treated horses that have been hit by trains that have lived. I've seen a lot worse than this." I said, "But she's lost 5 gallons of blood." He said, "She's got 15 in her." And the reason I'm telling you this story is, you don't know what you can do, folks out there. Listen to me. You don't know what you can do, and especially if God's on your side. I'm not saying that you should all become kamikazes. I'm just saying, don't be enslaved.
United Nations has issued orders to its member nations to curtail the proliferation of arms, military surplus, and other materials that we are going to need in the future, and you'd better stock up now. President Clinton has signed an executive order. Janet Reno has implemented it. Now surplus GI ammunition cans and camouflage netting are illegal. Saying, "What's that music?" Doing this music night, folks, because Pooh likes it. It's from Tales from the Crypt. And it's one of the only shows that we let her watch because it's funny and it's stupid and she can see through it and she laughs her head off and she loves the music. And she's right here. You want to say hello to everybody? No, she's sleepy. Okay, Lenny, back to you.
Our children have a place to grow up. That's why hopefully people listening to me will resist, because we've sold out their inheritance as a nation. Somebody needs to get it back for them. I would point out that oftentimes people tell you that if you live by the sword, you shall die by it. And they point out this verse from Matthew. I paraphrased it a little bit. I didn't quote it word for word, but you commonly hear that. And that's true. I think if you do live by the sword, you will die by it. And even in a righteous cause, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wrong with that if you die with eternal salvation at the end of it?
Doing something good and something right.
I don't want to die. I'm not suggesting that anybody in the audience do so, but death is the end, maybe the beginning. We shouldn't be afraid to die. And if the Founding Fathers pledged their lives and their sacred fortune for what we have today, can we do any less for our children?
You know that most of the people here have done that. To be a member of the intelligence service, they must pledge their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor in this cause. And that's why there's such good people sitting out here. Not many people would do that.
Not many people have honor.
That's correct. Not many people even know what it is.
We talked about captivity. And the first thing that I'd like to tell you, if things worsen to the point where, and I believe they will, that we actually have insurrection, if you want to call it that, that's what they'll call it. Violence in the streets, that couldn't happen except maybe in L.A. If you see that type of thing happening, and you're suspected of being one of the ringleaders or participating in it, I was kind of liberal with escape and evasion. I think they'll just shoot you. I think it'll come to that point where they want. I talked about sodium pentothal. I talked about a lot of things today. But I don't think they'll spend the money on the shot. You're a useless eater, and we're from the government. We're here to help you. They got an answer for you.
That's right.
They'll send me to see my maker.
They certainly will. They'll tell your neighbors you were a drug dealer.
Anything in the excuse of I don't like drugs either, but give up anything in the pursuit of stopping drugs, and yet every day more are imported into this country, and more children suffer. I see this. I see them suffer with this.
You know, Americans don't realize it, but they've been told in the press a lot of what's coming. One of the things that the enemy, and they are the enemy, they've declared war upon us all. They are actively stripping us of our liberty, of our freedoms. They have told us in the press exactly what's coming. They've outlined it. Clinton has stated that we have a radical constitution with a radical Bill of Rights, and we have too much freedom and it has to be taken away. They told us that the United States military forces and the military of Russia will be holding joint maneuvers in the United States this year. And they've also told us that the Russians are sending one division of heavy armor. Three divisions make an army, folks. One division of Russian heavy armor is a lot.
Are you saying we're two divisions short of a load here?
You better believe it.
I'd like to tell you that I had a magic ray gun that I could zap armor with, but I don't. But the Czechoslovakians fought it. The Hungarians fought it. And the Afghans fought it successfully. We can fight it. And there's still a lot of people that drive tanks for us.
That's correct.
That won't go along with this.
That's right. We know from what happened at Kent State that our own troops might fire on us one time, and then they have tremendous psychological and mental repercussions from that act. And they're going to reevaluate their position. And a lot of them will come over and help us along with their equipment. And I don't know when that will happen, but I know that it will happen. Now, Lenny, you know, repeatedly today, and I know we're skipping a lot of things because what you gave to this audience today is very difficult to impart over radio. In fact, you're kind of a humble man, and I think that it was difficult for you to do what you did today, but you did it. And like you said, you did it because you were led to do it, and I'm certainly grateful for that. How can we wake these people up out there that are listening to what's coming, to what their responsibility is to themselves and to their family? And if they choose to be a slave, what's the consequences of that? Do you have any answers for those questions? Is there anything that you can do to sort of bring people to the realization that they're living in a fantasy world and it's going to come tumbling down?
Nothing's free. Our currency's backed by debt. I mean, they found out in Babylonia that currency that's not backed by precious metals doesn't work. I mean, God has given us that insight. Read it. If you're not a Christian, look at other sources. It doesn't work. If you look at things and you're happy with them, then you probably deserve what you get, and you're going to get it pretty soon. Some people won't know the difference. They really won't care. But there's a lot of people that are going to be able to tell the difference, and they're going to wake up, and it's going to be too late, and they're going to pay for it. And I'm just kind of a sentinel. I'm just trying to ring the bell and blow the horn that it's getting late.
We've seen photographs during World War II of two German soldiers with old bolt-action rifles, because the good rifles were on the front fighting the war. escorting 100 people down to the railroad cars to go to the slave labor camp. Now, it was apparent to me that those 100 people could have overcome those two guards with those old rifles really easy, with no problem. But they never did it, not once. Do you see that coming? Do you think people will knuckle under that easy?
I don't know if you're a farmer, but doesn't sheep generally follow the shepherd? And I'm following the shepherd right now. He's the Lamb of God. I'm not perfect, and I sometimes get astray. And I don't always do right. But they're following the shepherd too, and it's the trappings of authority. You put somebody in a white lab coat, they'll go along with your experiment if they believe the government said do it. That's been proven in tests. If you give a guy an old gun and a uniform, even if he's a 65-year-old man, and he says, march into the ovens, a large percentage of people are going to do it, especially if they're malnourished.
March right in. You know, they performed an experiment at Duke University where they took students, and they told these students that this was going to be an experiment, and for 3 days they were going to be prisoners. And they took another group of students and said, this is an experiment. For 3 days, you're going to be prison guards. And they sectioned off a building, and they made it the prison, and they made these people the guards and the other students the prisoners. After only a few hours, the students who were the prisoners began to really act as if they were prisoners, and the guards began to abuse them. Not play abuse, real abuse. And before the third day, before the end of the experiment even came along, they had to stop it because it was getting so bad. Now this proves in an academic setting that people will conform to whatever role is expected of them.
The only way to beat that, we've touched on at the beginning of the show, is through education. Education to know that you're not a sheep, that God gave people rights, and they're unalienable, and we own them. And rights are like muscles. If you don't use them, if you don't carry a gun on your hip in an obligatory fashion, because it is an obligatory duty in the United States, then you will lose that right, and it'll atrophy just like a muscle that you don't use, and it will shrink. And pretty soon people will say, well, you never had that right. The right's still there. God gave it to you. It still exists. You still have it. But now you're not using it. And you forgot you even had it. It's like a lobster. You can turn up the temperature a degree at a time, and gradualism will boil you. We have to have a literate electorate in this country to remain a free republic. And we do not have that any longer.
Lenny, most people don't even know this is a republic. All I hear is democracy this, democracy that. They don't even know that democracy is socialism.
Democracy is defined by a dictionary used at West Point in the 20s or 30s called mobocracy, mob rule. We have some democratic processes in this country, mm-hmm. and that's good. But democracy is you get 51% of the vote. Let's burn the Jews. Let's burn the Christians.
Yeah, let's empty the treasury and split the money up amongst ourselves.
There's a plan.
Let's get free this and free that, and let's buy suckers for all the kids. And that's what happens, and that's what we're coming to.
Let's give our troops light blue helmets.
Or free health care.
Hey, I'm in.
I hear people talking all the time about the free health care. It's beyond me how Americans don't understand that nothing's free. The government has nothing unless it came from us. And if we were to spend our money in our local communities, it would go a lot farther than if we gave it to the government and they spread it around amongst the government workers and then they jacked up the cost of a bunch of things and then farmed it out to special contractors to provide something for us. It ends up costing from 5 to 100 times more than it would have if we just took care of it ourselves. But everybody seems to think that if the government's taking care of it, it's free.
I think Gerald Ford said that if government was making beer, it cost $100 a six-pack or something like that. And it's the truth. They're inefficient. And they found that out in the Soviet Union. which has in the Ukraine, there's large, huge areas to plant wheat. And yet the farm economy of the Soviet Union was a shambles, still is today. Every five-year plan ended in disaster, starvation, and would have ended, I think, in a revolution eventually. Because that's one thing you don't do to the Russian people is take away their bread. Yet most of their produce, most of their stuff was raised on the small garden plots that they allowed people to have. And why was that? Because of enlightened self-interest. If I work hard on this land, I get to keep it.
That's right. And on the communal land, the land that belonged to the state, they pretend to work and the state pretends to pay them. Back at home, their little private plot, wonderful things are happening because it belongs to them. People haven't learned that lesson yet. You know, when you're up in front of a group and you have 2 hours to talk and you can go at your own pace and everything is covered, that's in your control. When we're doing the hour at a time, we've got 1 hour, and we have a break and we have music things, and of course, with my big mouth, I have to talk every once in a while. And we're getting close to the end of that hour. What's the most important message that you had to give to these people today? I mean, you talked about weapons, you talked about escape, you talked about evasion, you talked about tracking, you talked about God and all kinds of things. But what, in this time left, what do you think is the most important message enlightenment that you can give to our listening audience?
It's late in the game. First, prepare yourself spiritually. Find out what you really believe in, because you're going to be tested in that in the coming months and perhaps years. Make sure you have some food on hand. Don't bury your guns. As I said today, if it takes this for you to bury them and hide them, what's it going to take for you to dig them up
and use them?
If you're going to have a gun, keep it loaded and be ready to use it if the situation is right. I'm not saying murder anyone. Thou shalt not murder. The next thing is, if you don't have firearms, it's late, folks, and you probably are going to pay through the nose to get effective ones. Get some. I would encourage you to get accurate bolt-action rifles. Get what you know how to operate at this stage. If you've had a training with semi-automatic firearms or automatic firearms, which are kind of expensive to use and run, try to find those. Prices have, you talk about investing in gold, if you'd invested in guns, the proper guns, you'd be a millionaire when they were cheap and sold today when they're expensive. Women, don't spend money on the latest fashions. Buy a sewing machine, preferably one that doesn't run on electricity. Learn store cloth. Learn cottage industry, home skills, barter, ways to make a living.
You're asking a lot for a modern woman to pump a sewing machine with her foot. And
well,
I could just see him out there shaking their head. Who is this guy?
Yeah, how about men? Let me tell men to do that. But I'm not against modern sewing machines, but when the power goes off, you might need one of the old-fashioned ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to drive home a point, and men should have a bicycle with a generator attached to it, and all kinds of things that you can be putting together that you're going to need.
I didn't mean to imply that only women should do those types of activities, but women have responsibilities, men have responsibilities. Raise your children correctly, because the loss of them will debilitate you, and you'll lose some if you don't raise them rightly, properly. That's a big task in today's society.
Oh, yes. It's also very important to impart to your children, no matter how old they are, that the future belongs to them. And if they don't get involved in saving the future, just as well as the parents are. I don't believe in keeping children out of this. The future belongs to them, and they're going to have to help save it and save their liberty. And you're going to have to teach them that.
Do things as a family together, right, in that vein. Learn how to camp. Find out what works. I spent a lot a lot of my life and some dollars, and I'm a teacher, a small business owner. I don't have a lot of money, but I've spent it trying to find out what works. I know some things that work. I know some things that don't work. And sometimes the things that don't work are as important as the things that work.
Only a wise man knows what doesn't work.
Thomas Edison had shelves full of things that didn't work.
That's right.
Learn how to escape and evade. I can't teach you tonight. Learn the elements of camouflage. You can't hit or hurt something you can't find or see. Learn to get away and fight another day. You mentioned today that I think Sun Tzu said it thousands of years ago. When the enemy is powerful, we retreat. When the enemy is weak, we attack. The enemy is not always strong. Attack them in even the literal sense or the rhetorical sense. Right now, we can attack them in places that they can't defend, like at the local school board level. They can't defend that.
That's right.
Take control of your school. I'm not saying your nation. I'm not saying your county. I'm saying your school. And you and a few parents can do that and start teaching kids good things.
You know, the nation consists of a whole bunch of little local places. And if you can gain control of your local place all throughout the nation, then we've gained control of the nation. And a lot of people don't understand that. They're trying to say, we can't do anything. The government's too strong.
Well,
government begins right there where you live.
Government ends and begins on your street sometimes. And I applaud the people from New Mexico that are here today that have went out and fought for their counties. I come from Southern Extraction. I love Arizona. Arizona is a wonderful state. And it means something to me more than just the place I hang my hat. And I want it to be a good place. And I'll fight to make it that way. I'll fight politically. And if you force me, I'll fight violently. I want to raise good kids. I want to raise them with full of God's liberties that He gave us. And I think a lot of other people do too. There's going to be some problems, but we're going to have to stand up like men and women, and we're going to have to fight. And you know what? I blame the men a lot, because I look out there and I see men that have knuckled under to the system, have become effeminate. There's nothing wrong with being a man. I didn't say a bully. I didn't say somebody that beats people that are smaller than them. I said a man. And I think there's a movement in this country today to make men feel less than they are. Men and women are equal in the eyes of the law. But they're not equal. They both have wonderful gifts. They're different. That's the thing. They're different.
Yes, that's true. Intelligent men and women all know that. We have things that we can impart to each other, for each other, in society, in our private lives, and things that are tough for us to do if we step into different roles. And I think you're absolutely right. One of the problems that we have is that this oligarchy, this power that's very slowly, with gradual means, changing our whole society and everything, is attempting to get exactly that feeling, that we cannot be what we were meant to be, and that we must be something else that we don't fit into. And it causes psychological problems, it causes identity problems, it causes loss of all kinds of things. There's a forum on CompuServe, which is a computer place where people can go and talk and get data and do all kinds of things. And it's called the Men's Forum. And I thought, this is the Men's Forum, I'm going to go in there and check it out and see what's going on. I went on there and I could not believe it. It was just man after man after man crying and whimpering about how feminism is taking advantage of them, and they've become professional victims, just like some women have become professional victims, and every man in their life is abusing them. It was a real awakening for me to see that. I never dreamed that I would see anything like that.
Well, the government has forced traditional roles to break down. We don't have much time, but I can tell you one thing. Women have to work these days. Both parents do. It's destroyed our homes. I'm not saying that maybe always women should stay home. Maybe it should be dad. I did that for a while. All I can tell you is that you need to learn where you live. You need to learn what's out there. You need to learn how you can live in that environment without electricity and resist against those who would enslave you. And you need to do it soon, because we don't have a lot of time left. And I'm just here to tell you today, that wake up, America. The hour is late.
And that was a wonderful cue for what we have to do now. Lenny, I want to thank you very much for the 2 hours that you spent with our audience today. And I want to thank you for this hour and the hour of the time. And I want to thank you for being a wonderful human being and a wonderful man. Good night, folks.
Thank you.
And God bless you all. You have just spent 1 hour with politically incorrect programming, politically incorrect music, and of course, you are a politically incorrect audience. See you tomorrow night.